Good morning and welcome, everyone, to Live Dharma Sunday for December 4th, 2011. It occurred to me that major religious holiday of Bodhi Day or Wisdom Day, Enlightenment Day, is celebrated in the Mahayana tradition as December the 8th, the day in which Gautama Buddha, sitting under an Indian peepal tree, P-I-P-A-L, peepal tree, later came to be known as the Bodhi or Wisdom Tree. He had sat there for a week or so, and this was culminating his six years of searching, arduous aesthetic practices. He was at the end of his rope, so to speak, and he sat down and he said, "This is my last stand. I'm not going to move anymore until I figure this out, life, how to live." Morning star rose in the sky on December the 8th, and he met that morning star so gently, with clarity, and the rest is history. But usually, the two major schools of Theravada and Mahayana, Theravada being the Southeast Asian countries of Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Burma, Laos, and the saffron-colored robed monks. Theravada means way of the elders. The Theravadan are, they observe the major religious holidays, the three major religious holidays of the Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and passing away at the same occasion on the full moon day of the fifth month. And apparently, according to their calendar, these events occurred at that time. Now, lunar calendar was used probably in those to calculate those things, and our modern Gregorian calendar is based on a different system. And I don't know these kind of chronological types of details, the science of it or whatever. But in the Mahayana tradition, those three days are separate. He's considered Enlightenment Day is December 8th, Gautama Buddha's birthday as Siddhartha is celebrated on April 8th, and then his passing away or Pali Nirvana Day is observed on February 15th. And for the purpose of an individual's spirituality, in Buddhism, we don't ask, well, what is the true dates, or, what is historically correct? Okay. Now, that could be important and interesting for scholars and so forth, but we should not get sidetracked in terms of what the spiritual significances of the holidays. And it's always not something external in a different space and time, historical event. It's an occasion in which it points to something inside us. And that's where the real significance of religious holidays in any religion lies. Well, let's begin today with our guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. And this is Wendy Shinyo Hallett of Fairport, New York, which I believe is fairly close to Rochester in upstate New York. They get a lot of snow there, but she was saying this morning it's in the 50s and they haven't had any snow. But as I said, well, we can never figure out Mother Nature. And right away she said, and that's good. And indeed it is. She's part of our Bright Dawn Lay Minister 2 group. We're now, LM5 is meeting, but LM2, I can't remember the year, it's been 2009 graduating class. So without further ado, for today's Dharma Glimpse, Wendy Shinyo-sensei.
Thank you, Reverend Coyle. Today, in honor of Enlightenment Day, I'd like to talk about darkness and light. I've thought of this a lot in the last week or so, starting with last weekend and then prior to that when the day started to get shorter. I realized that I have a real habitual pattern of hanging Christmas lights every year on or before Thanksgiving weekend, depending on the weather. It's like the fleeting daylight prompts me to string the lights, almost as if a natural impulse, like geese flying south or something. Yet it is really, I think, on further reflection, my futile attempt to bring back long summer days and continued outside activities. This year, when I hung lights, it was last weekend, and it was an unusually mild weekend for Thanksgiving in Rochester, New York. So it made the job more enjoyable, gave me time to reflect, because I wasn't hustling as fast as I usually do to fight the pain of frostbitten fingers. It's very hard to hang lights from the gutters of your home with gloves on. So I'm usually fighting frostbite, but not last weekend. So as I was hanging the lights, I was thinking about why I, and clearly so many of my neighbors, seemingly need to light up the darkness at this time of the year. You know, in part I thought, well, it's the spirit of the season, marking the start of Christmas festivities, delighting the children. And yes, it is cheerier to walk out the door or drive down the street and not see pitch black, but twinkling yellow, white, and colored lights. But the more I thought about it, the more I said, nah, at least in my case, there's much more to it. For me, there's also grasping and attachment involved. I still want daylight at 9 o'clock at night, or at least 8 o'clock, please. I don't want it to get cold, because I don't feel like I have the strength to face another winter of months of snow, cleaning off the car, snow blowing, snow shoveling, and not being able to take my long daily walks comfortably without looking like the kids in the Christmas story. So why do I resist this seasonal shift that happens every year? Once I'm used to it, there's something wonderful about it. There's a gradual slowing down. It's a quietness that seems to come with the shortening of the days and sort of stills my thoughts. I find it much easier to relax, even be lazy, less inclined to heed the impulses to be productive, more inclined to sit, to think, to watch the squirrels bury the seeds and play, or to loaf and invite the soul, as Walt Whitman urges in Song of Myself. So hanging those lights last weekend, I thought about light. I thought about dark. I wondered, is light, warmth, productiveness, busyness good? Is dark, cold, and hibernation bad? Are darkness and light really opposites? Does light have darkness in it? Does dark hold the light? I thought about duality and non-duality, and I thought about oneness. I remembered light as a symbol for wisdom, and about Amida as infinite light. I thought about darkness as a metaphor for ignorance and evil. And I also remembered that it is only through the light of wisdom, through Amida's light shining on me, can I see my own darkness in the shadow that Amida's light casts. I remember that it is the wisdom of infinite light that enlightens me to the beauty of snow and the quiet stillness of the dark, to the graceful dance of living in acceptance of what is, making every day a good day and every season the best season. My Christmas lights, I know, can't stop the Earth's revolution, can't prevent short days, long nights, change, my own impermanence, but they can remind me that Amida's infinite light of compassion is always shining on me, showing me the beauty in all that is, and whispering the wisdom of my inherent Buddha nature to me, urging me not to cling to what was, but to relax and enjoy the season. So I'll end with the words of Shinran from the hymn of True Shinjin and the Nimbutsu. Pure light, joyful light, the light of wisdom, light constant, inconceivable, light beyond speaking, light excelling the sun and the moon he sends forth, illuminating countless worlds. The multitude of beings all receive this radiance. Thank you.
Unmute myself, and this is what happened. I'm going to just play with this mute, unmute. Well, I called back in, and it looks like I'm okay, maybe. So if I proceed on that assumption, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. Without any technical difficulties. Sometimes, if something's worth doing once, it's worth doing twice. So for those that are still on the line, I'd like to talk a little bit more about Bodhi Day. You know, our logo, Bright Dawn logo, is of a Bodhi leaf with a sunrise in the middle of it. And that we asked Adrian's niece, Carrie O'Connell, to, since she was in graphic arts, to design our logo. She had gone on a very serious personal spiritual pilgrimage to India, Tibet, and for an extended period of time. And in visiting the sacred sites at the Enlightenment place, Kapilavastu, I think it was, or, you know, there's Lumbini, the Gautama birth site, Enlightenment site, Kushinagara, the Nirvana site, passing away site. Kapilavastu, the site of his Enlightenment near Deer Park, and they have, and each of these sites, kind of a religious monument, and people can come and pay respects. And there presumably was a cutting made from the original Bodhi tree, and then new cuttings made, and so descendants of the original Bodhi tree have been preserved, and there's a tree there that is a descendant of the original tree. So it's a concrete symbol of an historical event. And so Carrie picked up some of the leaves on the ground that had fallen from the tree. And from one of these leaves, she traced the shape, and that is the one that's used for our Bright Dawn logo. I have come to find out that Bodhi trees are very hard to propagate. I did a little research on it, and through personal experience too. Their seeds are very tiny, like a pea-sized seed pod. And inside that pod, there's hundreds of tiny little seeds. And those seeds are very hard to germinate. So it's not easy to grow a Bodhi tree. I don't know the history of it, but my father had a Bodhi tree bonsai in his office. Somebody gave it to him, and they had a nice little garden in their apartment, you know, quite a few potted plants, and the Bodhi tree was one of them. I remember every spring, you know, in Chicago, they would put the plants out onto their second floor porch, open porch, and then during late fall, they would bring all the plants in and put them around inside their apartment to protect them from the harsh winter. Now, the Bodhi bonsai that my father had, it was a nice-looking plant, and when I was joined my father at the ministry at the Buddhist Temple of Chicago, every Bodhi Day service, which is observed on the Sunday before December 8th, some years it fell right on the same day, but usually you would observe it on the Sunday before the date. And so I would take the plant and put it on the altar area so everyone could enjoy seeing an actual Bodhi tree. And I remember one year I talked about an idea that occurred to me that the Bodhi leaves and all leaves of all plants just naturally turn to the light. You know, light is something basic, primal. The leaves will always turn toward the plant, and the whole leaves will turn, so it will maximize getting the light. And so this fits in with Wendy Senior Sensei's comments. Yeah, we always trying to face the light. And in fact, my name, Koyo, my Dharma name that my father gave me, means to face the sun. You know? So I'm like a Dharma leaf, a Bodhi leaf that wants to, you know, want to receive the teachings. And I call this a Dharma tropic, that we should be Dharma tropic. You want to face the light. Okay? Of course, for plants, it's called phototropic. It's just a natural tendency in nature and botany for plants to do this. Just as the plants are hydrotropic, the roots are, and naturally will go down for moisture. You know, their direction of growth is not haphazard. So our spiritual journey is like this too. Okay. We should always face the light, orient ourselves to the teachings. Okay. And the teachings are all around us. So I coined that term, dharmatropic, as a reminder that we should always try to face the teachings. I remember visiting several times in Honolulu. There's a Foster Garden. And they also, it says right in their program there, that they have a big Bodhi tree there, a huge tree. Bodhi trees, whoa, they're big trees. And it says in the program that this came from a cutting from the original Bodhi tree in India. And as I said before, it doesn't matter whether this is really true or not. There may be many places where they say, oh, this came from the original Bodhi tree. But it does catch our interest and our attention. So, oh, it's an aid to our spirituality. So indeed, I said, oh, and I went and sat under it, you know, hoping it might do some good. And you take a picture, and indeed, there were a lot of nice leaves fresh leaves, not dried up ones, fresh ones that had fallen on the ground, and I picked up them up and I took them home, and I later even framed them in some frames with some blue colored clouds with sky background paper in the frame, put the leaf in there and cut out the description from the program. I copied it and put it on the back of the frame, and would give this out as, you know, gifts to people in the future. You know, I maybe made a dozen of those or so to try to spread the inspiration that we could get from, you know, physical aspect of this is a leaf from the Bodhi tree. There's a friend of mine, Phil Goff, in Chicago, who I never talked to him exactly, but he grew a lot of little Bodhi trees for bonsai. And I received one from him. It was a nice one, small little bonsai. And I later gave it to my brother-in-law, Robert Procise, who has a bonsai collection, and he also inherited my father's, and I think they're still doing well. After moving to California here, Adrian started to take Tai Chi lessons at the Fresno Buddhist Temple, half an hour ride south from us, and our sister-in-law Joyce Kubose was a teacher, became the teacher of this Tai Chi class. So every Wednesday morning, we would go drive into the Fresno Temple, and I'd drop Adrian off for the Tai Chi class, and then I'd go visit my brother in Fowler, and then Adrian would come with her sister-in-law back to my brother's place, and we'd have lunch together. And then we go do our shopping in Fresno and go home. But the reason for mentioning this is, in the parking lot of the Fresno Temple, in their annex building, there's a big Bodhi tree. I don't know the history of it. I should inquire. Big Bodhi tree, boy. I should take a picture of it and put it in our newsletter one of these days, or a picture of it and put it on our website. So I got the idea. Oh, gee, maybe. I had written Phil Goff and I said, gee, I think I'm going to try to grow some Bodhi plants. And you know where to get some seeds? And he didn't have any source. I don't know where he got the original source when he had grown them some years back, but he said, no, he doesn't have any. He'd be interested in knowing if I found some. And even if I searched the internet, it didn't look promising. So I said, well, I'm going to get some from this big Bodhi tree in Fresno. I go there every Wednesday. So this past year, I got some seeds and gave some to Phil, and I tried to grow them, and nothing happened. Phil sent me a germination type of a kit, plastic. It's got special places you could put the seeds in the cells there, and plastic cover, keep it moist, put a heating pad under it, that special heating pad that keeps the temperature, certain temperature, keep the moisture, fill a tray underneath there that, and it sort of absorbs the moisture up through the special mixture. Nothing happened. Maybe the seeds were not ready or whatever. So I said, well, Phil, maybe the timing was off. So this past year, starting from maybe August, when I saw the pods were forming on the branches, I took a look at that tree every time I drove through that parking lot. So once a month, I took some seed pods. I said, and I sent some to Phil. September, October, November, December, you know, from late fall to early winter, the different development of the seed pods, if it made any difference, whether the overnight temperatures that get into the 30s, sometimes the seeds might need that coldness to trigger it, maybe. Or maybe this. And so far, Phil says he has not had any luck. I'm going to try one more time. I tried with cuttings, too, where you cut 8-inch branch off and you put it in water or soil mixture and see whether it would start to root after you put rooting hormone powder on the end that you cut. Certain species can take to propagation by cutting olive trees and other kind of trees. So I wasn't sure whether this Bodhi tree, which is a type of fig tree, I found out, which is a big family, but the cuttings didn't work out. I kept them moist. I read up on it, put each plant in a plastic bag to keep the moisture, humidity high, etc. You spray them every day with water and the leaves and all this stuff. No luck. And the story ending is still up in the air because I'm going to try the seed germination. I can't remember when we tried last time what part of the season it was. But I'm going to try with some more recent seed pods from this early December right now. And I'm going to get that germination kit out and try it again. Because I thought, gee, if I could grow we could figure out when and how to do it, we would have a lot of good source of seeds and know how to do it. Because that tree is big, and there's a lot of them. So it's worth trying to figure it out if we're going to be successful or not. Okay. And Phil was saying, gee, maybe that tree needs a mate or it's not, fertile in a sense. But there is a smaller Bodhi tree under it. Maybe it's about 8 feet tall. The regular Bodhi tree is more, 50, 60 feet tall. There's one under it about 8 feet tall. So I figured that must have came from some seeds that just nature just fell underneath the tree. So that's a signal that the seeds are viable, but I don't know. But if I do get some Bodhi plants, then maybe, and as I read and we did research on it, Bodhi seeds are very hard to propagate, to germinate. But anyway, if I am ever successful, then I will make a lot of these little Bodhi plants and give them away to a lot of people. To our lay ministers, whatever, and they could, if they want to, be burdened with a Bodhi plant in their homes. Nothing like getting a plant, and then if you don't have a green thumb, boom, it dies. you feel bad. But anyway, you could maintain a bonsai Bodhi plant for a while. Now, since they have that, I think Bodhi tree is sort of a tropical type of a tree. But since it was growing such a big tree in Fresno, maybe if you did get a nice healthy plant, it'll grow in this area. And on a Bright Dawn property, if I was able to grow little plants, and then I nurture them, protect them, and harden them up gradually and plant them on our property, I thought that would be very nice. We have some Bodhi trees around our altar rocks and so forth. So that may be a yet-to-be-determined long-term project. So I'm bringing you up to date with my Green Thumb activities. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. We'll try to figure out what's the deal with that vibration noise, and see if we can do something about it. In the meantime, keep going and have a very beautiful Bodhi Day season. Thank you.